So ladies and gentlemen, I want to take a few moments and, well, tell you a story. I think it's a cool story. It shows up in Homer's Odyssey, which, as you likely know, is a sequel to the Trojan War epic that I'm telling you. Now, the story shows up, I think it's in book 8, maybe book 9 of the Odyssey. And the reason I like the story so much is it involves a storyteller, a guy like me, but, well, living in the Bronze Age. The storyteller's name was Demodocus, and we don't actually know an awful lot about him. But what we do know is this. Demodocus was blind. He could not actually see his audience when he was performing for them. So he told his stories from memory. He likely actually sang them using a musical instrument that would look sort of like a modern day lyre. Now, no doubt Demodocus as a storyteller had a whole host of stories in his repertoire. But the stories that we see him telling inside of Homer's Odyssey are stories from Greek myth and especially stories from the Trojan War epic. Now, the story about Demodocus that I want to tell you takes place in the royal court of a ridiculously wealthy and cultured group of people called the Phaiakians. Now, Demodocus, like all storytellers, ancient or modern, was by necessity a traveling storyteller. And Demodocus had been fortunate enough to land a couple of days' gigs performing at the Phaiakian royal court, for the royal family and their privileged guests, I suppose. So my story picks up following Demodocus's live show. Apparently, his rendition of the Trojan War epic that night was an absolutely huge hit with the audience. Homer actually records the words of praise directed to Demodocus, well, from the foremost storytelling critic who was sitting in the hall that night. Here's what the critic said, I quote, right from Homer. Demodocus, I commend you. Either the muse was your teacher or else the god Apollo. For you sing about the Greeks at Troy with a sure sense of what happened, as if you had seen it there yourself. And it is a fine thing to be listening to a storyteller. It seems to me to be the most beautiful thing in the world. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Homer provides us with no written account of, well, Demodocus's response to that generous praise. But it really doesn't take an awful lot of imagination for, well, for you and I to infer Democritus's thoughts. First of all, no doubt, he was absolutely thrilled that his performance, his art, and all of those, well, behind the scenes, hundreds of hours of crafting and rehearsing his stories, well, that had actually all been worthwhile. For any artist, artistic creation is really an act of faith. You put in the hard, lonely, solitary hours in advance, and, well, once you think you've created something special, you send it out there, and you don't really know until you hear the audience's response. So, the rich and abundant praise from, well, the foremost theater critic in the Phaiakian audience, well, that would have absolutely thrilled Demodocus. But Demodocus's second response to that rich praise, well, it would have been, well, how do I put this, less artistic and much more pragmatic. He would have exhaled mightily the very moment that the applause began that night, because Demodocus could now be pretty well certain that when he passed around his performer's cup at the end of the show, his audience would be loading that cup with coins. And because the Phaiakian audience were so ridiculously well off, the coins that they placed into his performer's cup that night, well, they would most certainly be gold coins. And for Demodocus, one night of gold coins might be almost enough to keep him in food, shelter, and clothing for quite a while to come. And, more importantly, to finance his next big Mediterranean tour. Now, he had a couple of gigs already lined up in the city. Shows for, well, the wealthy merchant class who weren't invited to the shows in the palace because they were lacking in royal blood. And Democritus would always tell those wealthy merchants the very same stories. It was actually the identical set list. But the coins dropped into his performer's cup at those wealthy merchant shows, well, they'd be silver coins, not gold. And it wasn't that the wealthy merchants were being cheap. in relative terms, they were contributing at least as much to the Performance Cup with their silver as the Phaiakian royalty were contributing with their gold. And Democritus knew that silver is a pretty useful metal when it comes to paying the bills. But the real truth of it was that for Democritus and most storytellers, ancient and modern, those royalty class gigs and those wealthy merchant class gigs are few and far between. Most of Democritus's shows were in small towns and villages scattered across the entire Bronze Age Greek world. Now, there were days early in his career when Democritus had actually wondered, why am I taking this three-day trek inland to tell my stories to a host of impoverished peasants in a taverna with a leaky roof and bad food? Especially when I know already that when I pass my performer's cup, all I'm going to get is copper, no silver or gold. But later in life, Democritus figured out two things. First of all, he suspected that the poor people in those towns, they appreciated his shows at least as much as the wealthy and exceedingly cultured Phaiakian audience. After all, the Phaiakian audience were dripping in disposable cash. They were wealthy enough to pursue interesting new entertainments any day of the week that they wanted. Whereas those small town folks, well, they were lucky if a storyteller of Democritus's stature showed up maybe once, twice a year. So Democritus, the artist, loved doing his small town shows, and he was grateful for the applause that he got during those performances. But Democritus the businessman had actually figured something else out too. It turned out that those tiny copper coins that the small town folk threw into his performer's cup, well, eventually those tiny copper coins added up. 65 copper coins, Democritus knew, was equal to 5 silver ones or to 1 gold. And at the end of the day, it was the accumulation of the tiny copper coins that kept Democritus the storyteller in business. Gold and silver were special blessings from the gods, but it was copper that paid the bills. And then, well, for Democritus, there were actually those unfortunate gigs where he lost money. He recalled a recent show where after a perilous trek through a mountain pass, Democritus had arrived at a village with a reputation for performer cup generosity. But on the day he arrived, he learned the bad news. A drought had recently hit the village. All the crops had failed. Everybody was hungry. The very few copper coins left in that town were unavailable to reward storytellers, even good storytellers. They were being used for more immediate concerns like feeding children or purchasing firewood. But Democritus stayed and told his stories anyway. And the appreciative locals, they came out in droves to hear the stories. Democritus suspected that, well, his stories were at least briefly transporting them to some magic, wonderful world way better than the one that they were currently eking out in existence in. So for Democritus, the trek across the mountain, though it ended up with absolutely no coins in his cup, was more than worthwhile. Applause is a pretty nice form of currency, too. In fact, the only shows that Democritus ever regretted doing usually happened in the royal palaces or in the halls of the merchants, almost never in the small towns. And at those unfortunate gigs, as Democritus wryly labeled them, here is what would happen. Democritus would perform his stories, as usual. Democritus would receive rich and enthusiastic praise, as usual. But then, when Democritus would pass his performer's cup around the room at the end of the night, well, his seconds earlier delightful and delighted audience would somehow suddenly melt into the shadows, without so much as dropping a solitary coin into his cup. And it wasn't at all because they were poor. In fact, Democritus knew many of them were leaving his show directly to their expensive chariots and then heading out for a night in the town of paying advance entertainments and diversions, before, of course, returning to their comfortable villas in the suburbs. Those listeners had absolutely no shortage of disposable income, Democritus knew. they simply weren't willing to toss any of that wealth Democritus's way. Well, it's likely because I'm blind, Democritus reasoned. It makes them invisible to me, and, well, more importantly, it makes me invisible to them. But on better days, Democritus would search for a more charitable explanation. Oh, it's simply a Greek cultural thing, Democritus would explain to his fellow storytellers. Society somehow assumes that storytelling is a sufficient reward in itself, or that we storytellers have invented some secret alchemy that turns generous audience applause into food. Maybe those folks who skulk away without dropping a coin into our cups, they assume that Zeus or the Muses provides us not only with the stories, but looks after the bills too. And then there were those darkest of days, when Democritus would latch on to yet one other possible explanation for the listeners who melted away without offering up even a copper penny in gratitude. You know, maybe what I'm doing isn't really that useful or valuable to folks, Democritus would consider. After all, folks expect to pay stonemasons, they pay chariot drivers, they pay politicians, they pay priests, they pay cooks, they pay craftsmen. They expect to pay everybody except, well, we storytellers and the occasional street corner busker. So maybe the free market is voting with its coins, and what I'm doing up here is not really of that much value to anybody. Ladies and gentlemen, those were bad nights for Democritus. He would sit up on his own late into the night, brooding, wallowing in self-pity, considering alternate career paths, and drinking way, way, way too much Retsina. But inevitably, by the morning, the dark clouds would pass, and Democritus would be himself again. You know, I really can't think of doing anything else with my life, he'd remind himself. Telling stories, especially stories of the Trojan War, it's just so much fun. So, as long as a few copper coins keep coming in, and hopefully once in a while a silver or a gold one, I'm just going to focus on my good fortune. The Muses have blessed me with a rare and wonderful gift. I get to do something I love, do it well, and so far, I haven't starved to death. No man can ask for anything more. And so, ladies and gentlemen, with that little bit of Bronze Age philosophy, I complete my shamelessly on-the-nose plea that you might drop some coins into my performer's cup. If you can afford to send a few coins my way, it would be wonderful. Your coins will help compensate me for the hundreds of hours involved in researching, writing, recording, editing, and mastering the 25 hours of live storytelling that is Trojan War the Podcast. And your coins will help pay my monthly fixed costs of renting cloud server space to host the episodes and to host the website. And finally, your coins, well, they'll encourage me to carry on with my next project, new installments of Trojan War the Podcast. Now, just so you know, I have no corporate sponsors for Trojan War the Podcast. The voluntary coins that you place into my performer's cup is this project's only source of funds. One final thing. I am committed to making this podcast available to everyone, everywhere, regardless of financial means. If you have no available copper coins, my podcast will always be free. But if the gods, fate, or deadly destiny has smiled generously upon you, then please consider a one-time donation of gold to my performer's cup. Or, on the other hand, if you're part of the merchant class, then possibly a one-time donation of silver is within your means. And if all you have by way of help is copper, then by all means, please send me copper. Those little small copper coins, as Demodocus figured out, well, they add up in a hurry. And on to logistics. If you choose to make a one-time donation to my performer's cup, I have gone to great lengths to make the donation process fast, safe, and simple for you. I've created multiple donate options. Just go to my website, TrojanWarPodcast.com, find the donate button on the homepage, and click that button. And then in under 3 minutes, you will have made a meaningful and significant contribution to this project. So, on behalf of myself, on behalf of Demodocus and, well, all of his heirs, thanks. May the gods, fate, and deadly destiny smile upon your generosity. Have an awesome day.